The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Well, good morning. Going to talk about purity. What a shock. We've talked about purity for the last month or so. And here's the thing. Every week, you know, we've talked about this, and I keep thinking, okay, well, we've kind of run the course on this. We've kind of run where this needs to end. And every week, as I sit down and start praying about where to go next, and there's just more to plumb. There's more to go after, because I know that God is doing more and more and more in our lives. So today we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. The title of today's message is 99 and 44, 100% pure. 99 and 44, 100% pure. And that'll actually make sense in a little bit. Well, maybe not, but the reason I'm using this, I'm going to tell you, and whether or not it makes sense, we'll see. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." If it's not there, don't worry about it. We'll get back to it. In fact, go to the next slide. What's on the next slide? Oh, I forgot about these. You know what? Let me tell you. I have been reading a companion book to these. I finish Every Man's Battle. I read a companion book, Every Man's Marriage. If you're a married couple, I encourage, there's an Every Woman's Marriage as well. I encourage you to pick that up as well. Every Man's Battle is all about the battle for purity in men. The Every Heart Restored is for women if their husband has had an issue with this. Every Woman's Battle is, and women have battles with these things as well. So there's a good wealth of resource. Every Young Man's Battle, Every Young Woman's Battle. I haven't read those because I'm no longer a young man. I never was a young woman, so I've just kind of gone beyond that. But I want to encourage you to pick those up, and then we have, I don't know if we still have some available, and if not, we'll get some more in. If you can't afford it, we'll get one for you. I want to encourage you to pick those up. Okay. So I don't know where we are now. There we are. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is part of the Beatitudes. John R.W. Stott said that the Beatitudes were the closest Jesus ever came to a manifesto. The closest Jesus ever came to saying, if you're going to be a Christian, this is how you must live. Not can live, not should live, must live. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We're going to talk about purity this morning, and I'm going to give you some real practical ways at the very end, some real practical ways to gain purity in your life. Father, I pray that you'll open our hearts right now to hear what you have to say, because God, we are so short of your standard of purity. Father, bless us. Keep us now, God. I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear from you. Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be direct from you this morning, God. Bless us now. We ask it in your name. Amen. Let's see a picture here of the ivory snow box. Look at that baby. Not as cute as Soren or Josiah, but, you know, he's in there. And look, the mom is so angelic. And you've got the ivory snow watchword, and it doesn't have, I just now noticed that doesn't have what it normally has on it. But the ivory snow word has always been 99 and 44 100% pure. In fact, the bars of soap used to float. You know they don't float anymore. They're not that pure anymore, yeah. Does anybody know who that picture is, by the way, of the woman? Well, she started out as a model, And this was one of her first modeling gigs. And she looks pure and just so sweet. In 1972, though, she answered a casting call for the Mitchell Brothers in San Francisco for a film they were making called Behind the Green Door, which was one of the first pornographic movies that really caught on in high popularity. The lady right there is named Marilyn Chambers. Marilyn Chambers just passed away a couple of weeks ago, by the way, at the age of 56. So here the lady, 99.44% pure, just a year or so after this picture was taken, was doing a pornographic movie. Evidently, the Ivory Snow was 99.44% pure. Marilyn Chambers, maybe not so much. But here's the thing. Looking at that picture, would you ever guess that that woman was a porn star? And the thing is that we're all good at kind of hiding who we really are. We're all good at putting on a public face. And internally, we may be something totally different. We may look good on the box of soap, but inside, we're not quite the same. Let me give you this quote from Malcolm Muggeridge, which is a horrible name for a guy. Malcolm Muggeridge. But that's his name. His mama gave it to him. Who am I to complain? Okay, and it's up on the board. He says this. He's talking about sin, and he says, it's precisely when you consider the best in man that you see that there is in each of us a hard core of pride or self-centeredness which corrupts our best achievements and blights our best experiences. It comes out in all sorts of ways. In the jealousy which spoils our friendships. In the vanity we feel when we've done something pretty good. In the easy conversion of love into lust. In the distortion of our own judgment by our own self-interest. In our fondness for flattery and our resentment of blame. And listen to this. And in our self-assertive profession of fine ideals, which we never begin to practice. That last line kills us. Our self-assertive profession of fine ideals, which we never begin to practice. I always think of, when I read that quote, the first thing I thought of was New Year's resolutions. Everybody's got New Year's resolutions. I have easy New Year's resolutions that I make because I know I'm not going to break them. This year, I resolve to drink a Diet Coke every day. We're at the end of May. I'm doing it. I've kept that resolution. I had another resolution to lose 25 pounds. That one I'm not doing so good on. Actually, I've lost 25 pounds. I just keep gaining it back. But how many ideals do we have? How many things do we say we're going to do, and we don't even come close? This year, I'm going to get a handle on my temper. Or I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. Or even worse, we see somebody, we say, hey, I'll pray for you. They pour out their heart to us and we say, I'll pray for you. And then we forget. Or we kind of said it because, you know, that's the Christian thing to say. Just like, well, I love him in the love of the Lord. Well, I love him in the love of the Lord, which really means you wouldn't like him any other way, but because you're a Christian, you have to say that. We have these high ideals and we don't even get close to realizing them. We don't even get close to following through on them. See, we have a mask. When everybody sees us on Sunday morning, everybody thinks, oh, they're got it together. They're great. They're a great Christian. And on inside, we're not quite the same. We're the Ivory Snow person on the outside. On the inside, we're not quite so good. The Message puts it this way. Matthew 5:8 says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart. See, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's not just blessed on the outside. It's not just pure on the outside. Anybody here bring a pornographic magazine with them to church today? Anybody thumbing through a Playboy while we're preaching? I don't think so. What about tonight when you get home? What about later on when nobody's looking? When you think that nobody sees what's going on in your personal life? Do you know who sees? God. You know who else sees? You. See, we're talking about purity. The emphasis of today is not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And some of us have really gotten, and let's be honest, from the beginning of this series, we've gotten the outside looking pretty good. And that's a great step. You've given up some things on the outside that you knew are wrong. Now let's work on the inside. Because again, like I said a couple weeks ago, it's not enough just to not do the don'ts. You got to do the do's. It's not enough to turn away from sin. You've got to turn toward God. So let's talk. First of all, what is purity? Well, the term pure is the Greek word from which we get the word catharsis. You ever have somebody just scream at somebody else, and they say, "Well, that's a good catharsis." Okay, if that's the case, then I have bosses that get good catharsis all the time. No, yelling at me. Ever get yelled at? Just that face in your face. And inside you're thinking, you're plotting their death. You're imagining them bursting into flames and their head exploding. And maybe that's just me, but that's okay. Never with my wife, though. That you know. Okay? All right. Basically, there are scholars that say that the word pure here has a couple of meanings. First of all, it means to make pure by cleansing from dirt, filth, or contamination. Okay, we purify instruments to make them sterile to operate on them. You know, you're gonna go to the operating room. You don't want the doctor to just say, "Hey, there's something on this knife," and spit on it and wipe it off with his thumb. "All right, let's get to cutting." No, you stick the thing in somewhere that's gonna get clean first. So purify means to get rid of the dirt or the contamination. You take gold and they burn gold and they put it in the furnace and let it burn and burn and burn and it burns away the impurities. That's part of the purification process. The second thing refers to being unmixed, as having no double allegiance. Unmixed. If you add something to something else, it makes it not as pure. I mean, we talk about drugs, and if you've ever had anything to do with illicit drugs, you know that they bring in these drugs, like say cocaine or something. They'll bring it in from somewhere, and then they'll cut it with things. They'll add baking powder, or they'll add something to it because it makes it go farther. Well, it's not as pure as it was. And some of the things they cut it with, you know, every now and then, they're in Los Angeles there for a while. They were mixing heroin with rat poison and some other things, and guys were dying from it. Okay, so it's impurities. So there's that two words of purity there, two ways of looking at it, getting rid of the dirt, but also keeping it from being unmixed. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You can't serve both God and money. And let me rephrase this for our message today. You can't be pure on the outside and not pure on the inside. Something's got to give. Something's got to give. Because let me tell you something, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. Whatever's inside of you is going to come out one way or another. It's going to come out in actions. It's going to come out in thoughts. It's going to come out in the way you do things. Just putting on a uniform doesn't make you a ball player. When I was playing ball back in the old days, the old days, we used to paint our helmets. Because you couldn't buy helmets molded in the right color. All the helmets were white. So, you'd take your can of spray paint, and you'd spray paint your helmet the right color, and then you'd stick the stickers on it. Well, in a good game, every time you bang heads with somebody, you get what they call a stick mark. And you get a scrape in your helmet. Well, we had a kid on my Pop Warner team that never played. And when he did play, he just basically kind of ran around in circles. He really wasn't very good. He wasn't very smart. But he had stick marks all over his helmet. And we couldn't figure that out. If you're not playing, how are you getting stick marks? So we followed him home one day. Followed him home, and he's banging his helmet against fences and stuff as he goes home. That's how he got stick marks. He didn't earn them. He made them up. So we made him spray paint his helmet. You didn't earn those. Cover them up. See, and there are a lot of people who put on a Christian uniform. Carry a 25-pound Bible. Got that big family Bible ready. You know, hey. Well, the Lord says, Because they got a cross made out of railroad spikes. They got Christian bumper stickers on their car. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Excuse me. I threw up in my mouth a little bit there on that one. Because it's so easy to have all this outward stuff and inside just be a rank sinner. It's so easy to put on the uniform and bang your helmet against the wall to get stick marks, and you look like you've been in the battle, and you haven't. Every time you get in the game, you just run around in circles. It's not just what goes on the outside. It's got to be what's going on the inside. It's not just outward, it's inward. Let me define purity. It says, a person with a passion for purity is one who has been cleansed in character, so that the way he or she looks in public is the way he or she is in private. One of the definitions of character I read said the character is what you do when no one's looking. Remember the movie City Slickers? Great movie. Billy Crystal's riding along, and the one character looks at Billy Crystal's character and says, "Oh yeah, I know, you're so holy, you'd never cheat on your wife." He said, "No, I wouldn't." He says, "Okay, well, let's say space aliens came down from space, and they're beautiful space aliens, and they want to have sex with you, and then they'll just go away, and no one will ever know." Billy Crystal said, "I would know, and that's enough." See, I don't care if you know what's going on in my life, because I know what's going on in my life, and you will never, ever, I don't care how harsh you think you are, you will never be more harsh with me than I am. What do you do when nobody's looking? In your innermost thoughts, in your innermost being, what kind of person are you really? Because that's the true test of your character. Not whether or not you can put on the stuff and come here on Sunday mornings. It's what you do when you're by yourself. Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false." See, the problem is we have heart trouble. And I don't mean like a pacemaker or an arrhythmia. You didn't even know I knew those terms, did you? Or an infarction, which I think is a hilarious term. I really do. I want to have an infarction just because I think it'd be cool to everybody. I got an infarction. Because it would give you excuse. Anyway, we'll go on. See, if Jesus had just said in our text earlier, if he just said, "Blessed are the pure, for they will see God," the Pharisees and the people of the day that he was talking to would have been happy. Because they had all the outward stuff down. They had the stuff down. They knew what they were all about. They had all the outward stuff, and they were doing all their things on the outside, and they said all this stuff, and they wore little things on their forehead to remind them, to show everybody how holy they were. But they weren't very good on the inside. In fact, Jesus kind of took off after. Look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." That's pretty harsh. You clean the inside, or you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. If you ask me over to your house, and you give me a cup that's all beautiful on the outside, and on the inside there's spoiled milk and rotten stuff on the inside, I'm not coming to your house anymore. I'm asking for another cup. Here, you drink out of this one. Just because I look stupid doesn't mean I am. "Woe to you, teachers of the laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Wow. Don't hold back, Jesus. Tell us how you really feel. But does this ever apply to you? Have you ever been whitewashed on the outside? You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of wickedness and hypocrisy? On Sunday mornings you come and you lift your hands, oh, hallelujah. Then you sit down and you think about the person sitting next to you, impure thoughts. Or you look at somebody down the road, I can't believe they're here. What makes them think they can come to church? What kind of sinner are they? Let me tell you something. They're the same kind of sinner you are. We're all in this together. We've got to be careful that we don't become whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. We've got to be careful that we're not so good on the outside, we forget that the inside is where it really counts. See, they thought the religious acts made them holy. That somehow doing all the right things is what... Let me tell you something. There are people in hell right now that were Sunday school teachers and pastors. Why? Because they were good on the outside. They knew how to do all the stuff, but their hearts were far from God. That breaks my heart to say that. And I'll be honest with you, I have been one of these people. When I was in high school, I did all kinds of stuff I wasn't supposed to do. Showed up and was a bus captain for Faith Assembly. I was on the bus. The bus. I was a bus captain. I helped in Sunday school and children's church. And my heart was so far from God. But if you saw me on Sunday morning, you'd never know it. A whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." See, we got heart trouble. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." Matthew 15:18-19, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." Whatever is inside of you is going to come out. You wonder why you have trouble with sinning. It's because you've got heart trouble. You wonder why you can't keep from doing the things you don't want to do. Like Paul said, "Wretched man that I am. The things I do want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do." Why? We've got heart trouble. We've got to get our hearts right with God. It's not just the actions. It's not just the outside. Purity is what's going on inside of us. I like what Abraham Lincoln said. Abraham Lincoln said, "If I was two-faced, would I be using this one?" I feel that way. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord doesn't look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Ladies, I'm glad you're going to Soul Sisters. Have fun. But God doesn't care how you look. God doesn't look at you and say, "Oh, well, you know, she's obviously holy because she's good looking." God doesn't care if you're ugly as a mud fence. And I say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." Because let's be honest, I could stick my face in a bowl of dough and make gorilla cookies. I know that about myself. So I'm thankful that God doesn't judge me just solely on the outside. God cares about what's inside of you. The Lord doesn't look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Proverbs 21:2 says, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." Proverbs 27:19 says, "As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man." Where is our trouble? It's in the heart. You're struggling with your purity. Your problem isn't in your eyes. You guys say that all the time. "Well, it's my eyes, man. I can't stop looking." That's a heart problem. That's not your eyes. Your eyes are the symptom. The disease is your heart. I like what Max Lucado said. Max Lucado said that the heart is the totality of the inner person, the seat of character, a freeway cloverleaf where all emotions and prejudices and wisdom converge. It's a switch house that receives freight cars loaded with moods, emotions, and convictions and puts them on the right track. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. So, we're talking about purity. How do you get it? Well, let me tell you what doesn't work. Here's what doesn't work. Legalism. We tried this. This is a harsh list of do's and don'ts. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, then you got to cut your hair and look at I got to look this way, and you got to, you know, you got to read the right version of the Bible, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and it's all legalism. I don't live my life by a list of do's and don'ts. I don't. What I have is a relationship with Jesus that guides the rest of my life. Because here's the thing. If I've got a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to do the things that He wants me to do. I've seen people get saved, come to the altar, have a glorious experience with Christ, and as soon as they're done, somebody walks up to them and starts telling them all the sins in their life that they got to change. Well, you know, now that you're a Christian, you're going to have to cut your hair. You have to start dressing a little different. You're going to have to quit smoking, and you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. And I'm like, no. What did I tell you last Sunday? Unless I've missed a memo, the Holy Spirit's still doing His job. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin, not you. Now, if you catch your brother in a sin and you know it's a sin, yes, there's going to come a time when you say, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. But you'll know when that time comes because you'll have to say that through tears. As you weep before that person and say, I can't help but tell you this. This whole thing we got somehow that we're the ones that are the messengers. We're going to convict people of sin. That's legalism. I had a guy tell me one time, you're going to laugh about this now. I had a guy tell me one time that I couldn't serve God because my hair was too long. It's true. I had a beard. I had long hair. You can't serve God. Look at your hair. And I said, well, I don't know, but all the pictures of Jesus, his hair is longer than mine. And then I really made him mad. I probably shouldn't have said this part. I said, and he wore a dress. Yeah, that didn't go over well. And in my heart, I'm thinking, hey, Buckwheat, who are you to tell me God can't use me? If God calls me, He must think I'm okay. Let me tell you something. If God calls you, He thinks you're okay. If God puts something in your heart to minister to do, He wants you. He's not going to ask you to jump through all of these hoops. Look, we're so caught up in legalism. We're so caught up in making sure. Now, are there standards? Yes. Are there standards of behavior? Absolutely. But the Holy Spirit opens those up to us. I don't have to pound you over the head to let you know what's sin in your life. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to love you and lead you to Christ and show you the right way. Show you the right way by living it in front of you, not beating you over the head with it. Another thing we've tried is modernism. Modernism basically says, well, hey, dude, whatever you want to do, do it. It's okay. No, that's not true either. Because the Bible does talk about things that are wrong. The Bible does talk about things that you're absolute are sin. Now, I always break it down this way because, okay, is it a sin to eat Oreo cookies? I don't think so. I don't find it in the Bible anywhere. Okay? But I have people who think that it's a sin to snack like that. Well, you're not, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're tearing down God's temple? Well, you know what? God's temple needs an Oreo cookie. In fact, it needs a glass of chocolate milk to wash it down. And let me tell you something. If God convicts you of sin, it's sin. Now, so there are there standards? Yes. Adultery. However you want to put it, if you're having sex with somebody that's not your wife or husband, it's a sin. End of discussion. Is there any gray area there? Well, I think it's okay. No, I don't care what you think, Sparky. I said, is there any gray area there? No, the Bible said it's sin. It's sin. Oreo cookies? Can't find the Ten Commandments. Now, there are people, honest to goodness, there are people who are convicted if they eat Oreo cookie. And there are some people who say, well, whatever you want to do is fine. No. There are things that are sin. And there are things that are gray areas or places where you may have a personal conviction. We've talked before about alcohol. Look, the Bible doesn't say you can't drink alcohol. It says don't get drunk. So does that mean that I'm drinking a beer at dinner? No. Because for me to drink a beer is sin. Because of my past and because of what God has done in my life, for me to drink a beer would be sin. See? And so I could say, well, you know, it says okay. No. Modernism says there's no rights or wrong. God doesn't agree. Activism doesn't work. This idea that somehow we're going to change the world and we have to do it by beating people over the head and telling them what they're wrong. Tony Campolo said that every time we as Christians flex our political muscle, we become everything Jesus wasn't. Let me tell you something. We're never going to get rid of abortion in the United States of America the way we're doing it. If you really feel strongly about abortion, we're never going to do it by picketing abortion clinics. We're never going to do it by trying to legislate it out of commission. It's never going to happen. You know how we get rid of abortion in the United States of America? We change the heart of America. We change the heart of people. You can't legislate purity. It can only come through a heart transplant. We've got to be about God's business, God's way. I like this one. Monasticism. It just sounds creepy, doesn't it? Monasticism. You know what it is? It's drawing yourself away and being in a monastery. I'm going to stay pure, so I'm going to go off all by myself. I'm going to live in a cave. Well, here's the problem. Wherever you go, there you are. I can find ways to sin just by my little lonesome self. I'll think bad thoughts. I'm just that way. I know none of you guys are, but I am. Liars. Okay. You hear the story about the guy that goes to the monastery? And they're only allowed to say two words a year. Two words a year. It was a vow of silence. Two words a year. They bring the guy in the first year. He said, you have your two words to say. What do you want to say? He says, food bad. Next year comes along. You have your two words to say. What do you say? Bed hard. Bring him in his third year. They say, what do you have to say? He says, I quit. And the head of the monastery looked at him and said, well, I'm not surprised. You've griped ever since you've been here. Look, you can't withdraw from society and not be poisoned. It's not like you can go hide you away somewhere and that's what's going to change everything. No, it's a heart transplant. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. My grandfather loved that verse. That was my grandfather's favorite verse. Because he said it summed up Christianity. It sums up salvation and how we stay a Christian, how we work at being a Christian. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You don't take salvation for granted, guys. You don't just say, yeah, I'm saved, so what? No. You work that out. And you work so hard at being a Christian. You work and you get rid of the things that hold you back. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then God's part is that God works in us. See, we do our part, God does his part. So what I want you to do, I want you to get clean. Get clean. Here's some steps. First of all, admit our sinful impurity. The first step to purity is to acknowledge that you can't do it on your own. If you were going to be good on your own, you would have already done it. None of us are that good. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We sin a lot of times just because we're used to it. Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, who can say I've kept my heart pure, I'm clean without sin? You've got to admit your sinful impurity. You've got to go to the Lord and say, I am an impure sinner. Until you do that, you don't go any further. See, but the problem with that is we want to kind of soften it, don't we? Anybody here want to say, I'm just a rank sinner. I'm a pervert. That doesn't feel right. That's unsettling. We want to say, well, you know, I'm a human, and I do wrong things, and, well, you know, society has... No. In fact, say this with me, will you? I'm going to give you some freedom right now. Say it with me. I am impure.
I am impure.
Ah, you chickens. Say it. I'm impure. I'm a sinner. I'm good at messing up. Isn't that freeing? Isn't that just like, oh, that's kind of cool. See, you've got to admit you've got a problem. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous. You go, hi, my name's Jerry. I'm an alcoholic. Everybody says, hi, Jerry. Maybe we ought to do that. We come in the door in the morning. Hi, I'm Jerry. I'm a sinner. Everybody says, hi, Jerry. I went to Morons Anonymous once. I said, hi, my name's Jerry. And then I said, hi, Bill. It's bad. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Next thing you got to do is you got to ask God for a new heart. If you admit that your old one is diseased and ugly, then you need a new one. Acts chapter 15, verse 9 says, he made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. And let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and you haven't put your faith in Christ, and I never take it for granted that everybody here has a relationship with Jesus. Because I love the idea that this is a place for seekers, where people come and at all different areas of their spiritual walk. But let me tell you something. If you're here this morning and you haven't put your faith in Christ, if you haven't said, I accept you as the Savior of my life, then you need to do that. Because that's the heart transplant you're looking for. And I guarantee you, all of this stuff, none of it's going to work until you do that. So if you're here this morning and you've been coming and you've been soaking all this teaching up and you think, hey, this is great, but you're trying to do it on your own if you don't ask Christ to help you. So it starts with that prayer. And we're going to give you a chance today to ask God to purify your heart, to give you the heart of Christ. Next thing you need to do, you need to pray for purity. David knew how impure his heart was. The King David, he thought about his moral mess ups and his sexual sin. And man, David had a bunch. I mean, David killed a guy to get his wife. That's pretty harsh. Or had a guy killed. But in Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. John Piper said this. He said, Jesus didn't come into the world simply because we had some bad habits that need to be broken. He came into the world because we have dirty hearts that need to be purified. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me challenge you to do something this week. In your prayer time this week, I want you to ask God if there's any unforgiven sin in your life. And just ask God, is there anything in my life that I'm not forgiven for? Now, you may not like what you see. God, is there any impurity in my life that I need to work out? And you're not going to like what you see there. Let me tell you something. Until you start taking these hard steps, you don't go any further. You've got to do the hard work to gain the benefit. Next thing you need to do, and I add this in here, is to memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And then in verse 11, he says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In fact, let's go to Jesus. Jesus fasts for 40 days. In the New Testament, Jesus fasts for 40 days, which is a long time. I don't know why they call it fast, because it goes so slow. Okay, that's just what I'm saying. And it seems like every time you fast, everything looks good. I don't like cottage cheese. I think it's nasty. Babies make cottage cheese. I've seen it happen. Okay, yeah. See, you'll never eat it again, will you? Okay. All right. So, but I fasted one time for a week, and by the end of the week, cottage cheese looked good. That's how I knew there was something wrong. This is not right, because cottage cheese looks good. Brr, no. Okay. We've got to set our hearts aside for God. How can a man keep his way pure? Jesus fasted 40 days. At the end of the 40 days, the devil comes up to him and says, okay, he's weak. He's fasted for 40 days. Man, cottage cheese looks good to him now. And every time Satan gave something, well, why don't you just throw yourself off here and let the angels catch you? What did Jesus do? Did he tell him, hey, shut up and go away? No. He used God's word to send him away. He said, well, throw yourself off here and let the angels catch you. He says, no. No, it's not right to tempt God. He says, well, you're hungry, man. There's no cottage cheese around, so make one of these rocks into some bread. Jesus said, no, man doesn't live by bread alone. And if Jesus used God's word, if Jesus used the Bible to push Satan away, doesn't that mean that maybe we should be doing it too? See, here's a hint. I like taking what works. I'm just foolish enough to let somebody else take the lumps and learn from their mistakes. You ever walk behind somebody and they fall and they trip over a hole? And you think to yourself, I'm going to step around that hole. Why? Because that looked like it hurt, and I don't want to do it. We need to learn what Jesus taught us. And that is, the best way to get the devil and kick his behind is to memorize the Word of God. Now, this one's going to come as kind of strange to you. You need to avoid complaining and arguing. And you think, well, wait a second. We're talking about all this heart stuff. Here's why. Because what's inside of us comes out. And I have yet to see somebody who complains and argues all the time, who's agitated all the time, who didn't have heart trouble, who didn't have an impurity, didn't have a thing in their heart that caused it. Philippians 2, 14 and 15 says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. So quit your whining. As a youth pastor, I used to call my kids the whiners. We don't want to go to Knott's Berry Farm. We want to go to Magic Mountain. Shut up. That was my response to just about it. Shut up. We used to do these things called car wash-a-thons, where you had to, collect sponsors for car washes, and we made a lot of money doing it that way. And every time we did a car wash-a-thon, they're going to camp. They're going to earn their money for camp in 4 hours. How hard is that? And every year, we don't want to do a car wash. They're hot. He says, you know what? I found a great thing called a trash pickup-a-thon, where we put on those orange vests and we pick up trash on the highways. No, we like car washes, Jerry. We love car washes. Let's do another. You know what? Do what God's asking you to do without complaining and arguing. Don't whine to people around you. First of all, nobody wants to hear it. And second of all, you're not glorifying God by doing it. If your heart's pure, that stuff's going to get knocked off. Next thing you need to do is watch what you watch. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Job 31:1, where he says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I'm sorry, you can't watch Baywatch, guys, and keep those commandments. Oh, no. Like these idiots say, well, I buy Playboy magazine, but just for the articles. You're a liar and your breath stinks. Come on. No, we won't go there. Come on, watch what you watch. That goes without saying, doesn't it? But you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that as you purify your heart, your standard of purity is going to go up. And the things that you thought were, you didn't use it, well, there's nothing wrong with that. After a while, you start thinking, well, I don't really need that. That really doesn't belong in my new way of life. And lastly, you need to find a faithful friend. You may need to find different friends because the friends you have are not helping you. See, and most guys, I talk about guys because I have guys. I'm a guy. I don't know girls so much, but I know guys. You know, we always have like one guy in the crowd of guys we hang out with that's just a potty mouth. And everything can be dirty. And everything can be twisted around. You know what? You probably don't need to hang out with that guy. Probably don't need to be hanging with that dude. Or limit your time with him. Because that guy is going to put stuff in your head that doesn't belong. We used to have one guy that and I worked at the electric supply warehouse. We had a guy that would come in on Monday morning, and he would tell us about his sexual conquest over the weekend in graphic detail. Right now, dude, I don't need to know about your naked time with somebody. I don't need to know about it. And so I would walk past, he'd say, God, so you need to hear this. No, I don't need to hear it. I got him to quit telling me to me once because I told him, you know what, you're probably lying anyway. He quit talking to me after that. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 27:9, the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. You need a good friend who's going to keep you straight. You need a good friend who you can be honest with and you can say, you know what, I'm struggling today, will you pray? A few years ago, there was a couple in Bakersfield that purchased a brand new boat, but they're having some real problems. Big 22-foot boat. They got it and they couldn't accelerate. It wouldn't go very fast. It was just slow. So upset. Finally, came back around. They went to the dock and they moored it. And they went and asked the guy, hey, this is a lousy boat, man. It won't go anywhere. I floor it. You can hear the motor. So they did it. They inspected it. They looked at everything. It was all perfect up top side. The motor was running great. Couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. So one of the guys got a little mask and he jumped in the water. And when he came out of the water, he was laughing so hard he almost drowned. Because there, attached to the bottom of the boat, was the trailer that the boat came in on. How many of our lives look good on the top side? But the reason we're not going very far or very fast is because we're still dragging around the trailer. We're still dragging around the sin that doesn't belong in our life anymore. And you wonder why you floor it and nothing happens? Because you need to dump the trailer. You need to dump the sin. You need to let the purity of God come in. Let's pray. God, this is a powerful message that you are just hammering us with, God, but we've got to be clean. We've got to have clean hands and pure hearts, God. And the only way that's going to happen is if we purify our hearts, God. If we come to you and lay it all on the altar and say, I can't do this on my own, God, be glorified. God, do something great. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I told you I was going to give you an opportunity this morning to accept Christ, and here it is. You're sitting here this morning and you've never made a conscious decision to follow Christ. You've always been around church, but you've never actually made the commitment in your heart that you're going to be a Christian, that you're going to follow Christ. This is your opportunity. Now's the time. Don't wait. Don't say, well, tomorrow or maybe next week. No, do it now. And it's so simple. We're going to pray right now. And as we pray, I'm not going to give you the words to say. Say it in your own heart. God, I accept you. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my God. I want to live for you. Father, thanks. Speak to us this morning, God. You're working our hearts. You're purifying us. You're making us new. But God, we've got to follow you. Speak to us this morning. Father, I pray for every person that's here that they would make a commitment to you. If that's you right now, I just want you to say it. God, I commit myself to you. God, I want to follow you. God, bless us. Make us the person you want us to be. We accept your forgiveness of sin. We accept the new life you're offering. God, bless us. Stand with me if you would. Let's sing this last chorus. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. And let God do something great. If you've made a commitment this morning, find myself, find Jeremiah. tell us what God's doing in you. We'd love to pray with you and give you some action steps.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.